And so in a sense, this is part two. The subject delivered, received, now stand. So we could just call this part two, or if we wanted, we could say anchored in Christ. You know, the gospel is anchored in Christ. I put responsibility on Brother Bean to title my lesson instead of doing it for myself. But we are so thankful that we are blessed to get a chance to complete this lesson. And we trust that it will be of encouragement to our souls, to help us to remember that we are truly on a joint quest with God Almighty to seek and to save the lost, to deliver, to teach the word of truth. As Christians, we have been fortunate to have received the gospel, but it's not sufficient for us to just receive it. But we too must join in the delivering of the gospel. The base text that we have been on in respect to this is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we have been looking at verse 1 through to about verse 3-4 thus far. And among the things that we have seen is that it is important that as Christians, we recognize that we have received something grand. We have received the good news of Jesus Christ. We have received, we have been delivered the truth of Jesus Christ, that he died, he was buried, and has been resurrected. And we, among other things, highlighted last week that we need not get confused when we look around and we see persons who have not joined in the death, burial, and resurrection, and we see them demonstrating godliness. We need not get confused when we see persons demonstrating what appears to be holiness and purity, and we know that they have not embraced Christianity. We need not confuse ourselves and to think that we should not teach them. Because once we have not embraced the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then we are in need of the gospel. And so we should teach them with as much zest and recognition of its necessity as we would the person we know to be a murderer, the person we know to be a thief, the person we know to be living in sexual immorality. We need to, with the same zest, reach out to them so that they can become a part of the family of God. We want to, well, just for those who probably weren't here, we recognize and we left some, I could call it nuggets of truth. That when we are talking about the gospel and the holding on to the gospel, then there are certain things that will always be key and important. One, whatever we do must be according to the scripture. And so when we evangelize, when we go about teaching and sharing the gospel, even to persons who seem to be already righteous, godly, holy, pure, then as we teach, it should be according to the scripture. Is your practice according to the scripture. Another nugget of truth is that when we talk about embracing the gospel, is that it is always obeying the truth. We saw that coming out in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. And we also saw that in respect to serving God, obeying the gospel, that all of that and any sense of holiness, it's because we have the fear of God. And the fear of God causes us and makes it necessary for us to keep His commandments. So what we saw in these nuggets of truth, these truths that came out of the lesson, is that we cannot be serving God and not listening to His will. So perish the thought that I appear to be morally upright. Are you going according to scripture? Are you obeying the truth of the gospel? Are you keeping His commands? But let us expand some more on this thought that we had hoped to get to last week. Because beyond godliness, holiness, and purity, which are things that we see and expect to develop as Christians, we made the point that if our actions are not anchored in the love of God and the hope that comes from the resurrection, then what appears to be godly, what appears to be pure, what appears to be holy, is without meaning. And in the same breath, actions such as giving, us being kind and patient, being patient, by themselves, let me start again, action such as giving, kindness, patience, by themselves have little spiritual meaning while these actions are seen from a social perspective as good qualities. If they are not anchored in Christ, they do not yield spiritual blessings. And for this reason, our friends and co-workers and family members who are religious and do actions that make us sometimes as Christians look like we are not even trying yet. And when we see how they act and they are sincere, we have to be conscious that if they are not doing it and being right in the eyes of God, and remain in their denominations and staying away from Christ, then they are truly not sanctified. They are truly not Christians. They are truly not obedient. Because all these actions get spiritual recognition when they are done in Jesus Christ. You know, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3. Because, you know, sometimes we really get things misplaced. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, you know, we call it the book of love. You know, it talks about charity, which is love. And the whole discourse of the chapter is about love. But among the things it shows is that we can be doing some things that appears to be good. But if it is misplaced, it does not carry the reward that we expect. And so it is that some qualities are sometimes natural. And we see people carrying this out and we mistake that for Christianity. When it is a good Christian quality, it does not necessarily mean that the person is being spiritual doing it. Let's have verse 3 of chapter 13.
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor.
So here it is that we have somebody giving all his wealth, his everything to the poor. Yes? Read.
And though I gave my body to be burned.
For the sake of others and for the sake of our institution and for a conviction that I have, I am willing to be burned. Anything else?
And have not charity.
And have not charity and don't have love.
It profiteth me nothing.
It does not profit me anything. And so what we are trying to show here is that we can be doing actions, but if it is misplaced, it will not bring the gain, the profit, the reward that is anticipated. And so we need to recognize, friends, we need to recognize, brothers and sisters, as we encounter with persons, that though the person is doing some actions that appear to be Christian, it does not mean that they do not need the gospel. And so it is our responsibility to still share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. It is important for us to share with them the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that they need to come in conformity with this. You know, we have a statement, and every kin teeth a laugh. We know that one. So it's not every time you see a person smiling, it means that it is a genuine laugh. And so let us never mistake good works, good actions, morally standing activities to be something that will bring spiritual blessings to us, because it only gets that when it is anchored in Jesus Christ. It's good. It is good to smile. But it's not every smile is a laugh. You know, there's a sister saying to that one, and you know, every time I hear it, I remember Sister Darby, because she's the one who introduced it to me. You know, use skin teeth, keep a heart bone. And so we can be looking at a person, and if we're just using their smile, we think that they are happy. But sometimes they are just using the smile to hold down what is really something that is hurting inside. And so we can't just use what is on the surface to say that a person is okay. And so it is in the spiritual realm, that we cannot just look at a person and say, because they are upright in what they are doing, they are socially good, they are kind, they are doing all of these things that have positive impact on the society. And that is good. I don't want us to take away. People should be morally upright, should be kind. It would be good for us to exercise patience and all the attributes that are positive. But let us never make the mistake to think that those actions automatically make a person a Christian. It is important that they become a part of the family of God. And the extent to which we fail to conform to the gospel, to join in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then we are not there yet. And so the call goes out again to us as Christians to recognize that we need to evangelize, share the gospel to even those persons who look good and morally upright. Our co-workers, yes, that seem to be there. We need to introduce to them the gospel, because they need it. He said, you know, they say things to me that are so spiritually encouraging. You know, I care for them. Well, if you care for them, try to bring them to the fold. Because all of this that they are doing, it is minus any spiritual blessing if it is not anchored in Jesus Christ. Whatever we do in words or deed must be done in the name or the authority or power of Jesus Christ. We need to recognize that whatever action we are doing spiritually, it should be anchored in the authority of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 tells us this. Whatever we do in words or deed, let it be done on the authority of Jesus Christ. Can I digress a little? You know, when we talk about in the name of, you know, by the authority of, by the power of, you know, persons sometimes get a little confused, and persons tend to even carry us down the line, you know. So when you are baptized, were you baptized in the name of Jesus? Or were you baptized in the name of Jesus? Well, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, what's the difference? When we are baptized in the name of Jesus, that is on the authority of Jesus, then what did Christ say concerning baptism? You know, you can put your finger at Matthew 28. We are going to come there. So we need to recognize and understand what is meant by that. And, you know, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 7, you know, scripture inspiration makes it clear that when we talk about doing something in a person's name, then it is being done by the person's authority. It is being done by the person's power. Acts chapter 4 and verse 7. Let's have that one read. You can hold Matthew for a little while. Acts chapter 4.
Mm-hmm. And when they had set them in the midst,
yes,
they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this?
Okay. All right, you know what? Let's pick up at verse 1 for me. We're going to take the context of this.
And as they speak unto the people,
yes,
the priests and the captain of the temple,
mm-hmm,
and the Sadducees came upon them.
Yeah.
Being grieved that they taught the people.
All right, I want us, you know, I'm making a decision to go through this because it will cement some things that we spoke about last week. So they were grieved
that they taught the people.
That they taught the people. So remember what the general thing we're talking about. Delivered, received, now stand. So the religious leaders were not happy that the Christians taught the people. Taught? What do you mean taught? Well, they were not happy that the gospel was being delivered. Read.
Being grieved that they taught the people.
That they taught the people. So they were delivering the gospel to the people.
And preached through
that
Jesus.
That they preached. So they were delivering the gospel through teaching and preaching. Through Jesus Christ.
The resurrection from the dead.
The resurrection from the... Yes, and that's how we know that they were preaching the gospel. Because the gospel is about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You see, the Christians here were embracing the gospel. To deliver the gospel, the truth of the gospel that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and is resurrected. Read on. Remember, we're just taking the context because it's really verse 7 that we are. So build up.
And they laid hands on them.
Yes.
And put them in hold until the next day.
Yes.
For it was now eventide.
Yes.
Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed.
Wait. Are we seeing it? So here we are seeing again. Here we're seeing again that there was the gospel delivered. Read that verse again.
Being grieved that they taught the people.
Mm-hmm.
And preached through Jesus.
Oh, you're going too far, man. So we already looked at the fact that they delivered through teaching and preaching. So now we are seeing that they believe.
Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed.
So they received. They received the gospel. So the gospel was delivered and it is now being received. How do we know that it is received? Because they heard and it went further. They believed. So here we are seeing the gospel and the participation of the perpetuation of the gospel happening. It is delivered and it is being received. Read on.
And the number of the men was about 5,000.
All right, so just the men alone was 5,000. And somebody said, well, if you get 5,000 men being converted, you can imagine how many persons, because the ladies are usually more receptive, it seems. But that's another thing. Read on.
And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together.
Were gathered together at Jerusalem. No. So that was just the context. But they say, I thought it was good because it allowed us to remember that the gospel is delivered and it is to be received. And the persons at this point who were delivering the gospel were at some point recipients of the gospel. So we pointed out last time that it's a two-way street. That we have received the gospel means that at some point we need to be delivering the gospel. So this is what was happening. Receive the gospel, delivering the gospel. I realize that Jesus Christ has died, he was buried, and he's resurrected. I take that and I obey the gospel, which we'll get more to the details on that. There are some things about the gospel that we must obey. But having received it, they delivered it, and the cycle goes on. We'll come back to that too. So now we are at verse 7, because we got here because we talk about in the name. You know, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 told us that whatever you do in words or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. And then in verse 7, it's now saying, and when?
When they had set them in the midst.
Yes, when they set them in the midst.
They asked, By what power or by what name?
By what power?
Or by what
by
name?
By what name?
Have ye done
have this? Ye done this? So when we talk about the in the name of, we are talking about by what power you have done this. By what authority you have done this. You know, and the question was asked, and some answers came. Can we do this quickly? Verse 10. The answers.
Be it known unto you all.
Be it known unto you all.
And to all the
people. And to all the people of Jerusalem.
Israel, that by the name of Jesus
that
Christ.
That it is by the name. You seeing it? You ask, you know. So by what? In whose name you did this? Who authorized you to do this? Is who have the power to make you do this? And so Peter answered, be it known that it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Whom ye crucified.
Whom ye crucified.
Whom God raised from the dead.
You know, so we say, Mark a God, but when we talk about being crucified, we're talking about his death. Read on.
Even by him doth this man
whom ye have crucified,
here,
whom God has raised from the dead. I must give up. All right. Okay. Try. Okay. Raised from the dead. So we're talking about the gospel. Jump down to verse 12.
Neither is there salvation.
Neither is there salvation in any other.
For there is none other.
For
name.
There is none other name under heaven.
Given among men.
Given among men.
Whereby we must be saved.
You see, by whose authority, by whose power, in whose name you are delivering and causing people to receive the gospel. No other name, no other power, no other authority than that of Jesus Christ. Verse 13. Now when they saw
the boldness of Peter and John.
And of Peter and John.
And perceived that they were unlearned.
And they realized, they perceived, they recognized. But wait. I don't have a PhD this. I don't have a person this will go to a tertiary this education. But I'm not even sure if they went to high school. These were unlearned. They are not at the upper launch of the education system. But they took note that they were with Jesus. Every one of us, if we have received and we understand and we start delivering, and we do this with boldness, then people will notice that it is not so much us, but it is Jesus Christ who is emboldening us, because this is the power of the gospel. You know, verse 17, I jump in because I just want to make some points here.
But that it spread
no further among the people.
Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name.
In this name. You see, so they wanted to downplay the power of Jesus Christ. Read on.
And when they called them.
And they called them.
And commanded them.
And commanded them.
Not to speak.
Not to speak.
At all. Nor teach in the name.
Don't speak
Jesus.
At all. Or teach.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Don't speak on the authority of Jesus. That's a command that they gave them. But Peter, verse 19, but Peter and John.
And John answered and said.
Answered and said unto them.
Whether it be right in the sight of God.
Whether it be right in the sight of God.
To hearken unto you.
To hearken unto you.
More than unto God.
More than unto God.
Judge ye.
You judge.
you judge. For we cannot, says verse 20, but speak the things which we have seen
and heard.
We cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. We cannot but deliver what we have received. That should be our cry. That should be our motto. That we cannot but talk about the death, burial, and resurrection that we have received. Because having received it, we have an obligation to deliver it. We cannot be recipients of the gospel and not sharers of the gospel. We cannot be Christians and not be evangelistic. It does not work. That's not the... We are taking ourselves away from what the gospel is all about. Because having received it, it is for us to also deliver it. You know, we have been talking about, you know, in the name of, by what power, by whose authority are you doing this? You know, your finger must be tired to be at holding Matthew 28. Can we go there now? Because Jesus Christ is the authority. He has the power. And you know what he said? Matthew 28.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying,
yes,
all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
In heaven and in earth. So Jesus came and he says, all power is given unto me. All of it. I have jurisdiction in heaven and in earth.
Go ye therefore.
And so he says, go.
Go ye therefore. And teach all nations.
Go ye therefore and teach. You know what you're doing here? You are delivering. So he's speaking to his apostles, his disciples. And when Jesus Christ said this is an important point in history.
Yeah.
This is a point in history where he would have already lived. This is a point in time that he would have already died, buried, and he's now resurrected.
Yeah.
He is going back to heaven. And you talk about, you know, last word.
Yeah.
You know, what are going, what, anything Christ said during this time is something you want to pay close attention to.
True.
Because he's not going to talk directly like that again. Yeah. Not going to be round like that.
Yeah.
And he's saying, you know, let it be known that I do have all authority.
Yeah.
In heaven and in earth. And he's now saying, go therefore and teach. So you must teach. You must deliver the gospel to all nations. Delivery. Read on.
Baptizing them. In the name of the Father.
So you see, by whose authority, somebody had asked. By whose authority or whose name are you baptized? Well, you are baptized by the authority of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
By the power of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ, through his own words, and I like to look at the scripture, and when it is in the paper thing, and when Jesus Christ is speaking, it is in red. So yes. I don't have any mix up who talking.
Sure.
And when I'm looking at my Bible here, all of that is being read is in red.
Yeah.
So it's Jesus speaking.
Right.
And he's saying, go ye therefore and teach all nations,
baptizing them. In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Father.
And of the Son.
And of the Son.
And of the
Holy Ghost. So when we're talking about, in whose name are you baptized? By whose authority are you baptized? Whose power?
Well, it's one and the same.
Yeah.
Because by his authority, he's saying that you can't be baptized and not conscious of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You see, we are all one. So why are you trying to make a distinction? But beyond that, he's saying to his disciples, deliver, teach this, teach it. But did it stop there?
Teaching them.
Wait, teach again? Wait. So he is saying, go and teach.
Yeah.
But what they go and teach, what they are delivering, the gospel, he's saying, teaching them
to observe
all things
whatsoever I have commanded you.
Yes.
And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Even to the end of the world. But don't miss this. In delivering, we teach.
Yeah.
When the persons receive, they are to observe all things that I have delivered to you. So, it will become the same type of cycle. What has been delivered has been taught. When you receive it, you are going to teach it too. Because I'm teaching you to observe all things that I have delivered. And you see what happens? That becomes the recipe for the gospel to perpetuate, to continue, to roll on and on and on and on. How the whole book of Matthew end? What's the last phrase?
Amen.
What's the last phrase? Amen. In the book of Matthew.
The book of Matthew.
Last phrase. You're there, you read it already.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, at verse 20. Even unto the end
of the world.
Of the world. You know what that is saying? This recipe will cause the gospel to go on and roll on through the ages.
Okay.
So beyond the fact that anywhere in the world, somebody corrected me about this statement too. Because a person wrote a song and said, anywhere in the world you go, you know, you can't know that you're a Jamaican. You know, so I was doing present here and say, anywhere in the world you go, you know, you can make some payment. That's the context. So the person correct me and say, not anywhere in the world you go, but anywhere in the world you are. But anyway, it don't matter if it's R or go, R B. If you are going to be a Christian, you must be exposed to the gospel. Anywhere in the world you are. If you are going to become a child of God, then you need to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Anywhere. From the North Pole to the South Pole, any continent, we need the gospel.
Right.
But this cycle also speaks to the ages.
Mm-hmm.
To the first century, to the second century. Where are we now? 21st century? This is the same recipe and the world survives for some more centuries. Then this is how the gospel is going to continue through the ages.
Amen.
Teach. But when you teach, you're going to teach them to observe all things.
Yes.
So the cycle continues. The gospel delivered, the gospel received.
Yeah.
Yes, that is the recipe. And it's not just there we see it. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 tells us,
you know, and the things that thou hast heard of me.
The things that you have heard of me. Oh, I didn't see it again. Don't miss it. The things that you have
heard of me.
So it was delivered to you. Yes, read.
That thou have heard of me among many witnesses.
Yes.
The same
thing that you have heard of me among many witnesses.
Commit thou.
The same thing that you have gotten of me and that you have now received. It was delivered and you have received it. What are you going to do?
Commit thou.
You are going to commit. You know what that commit is saying? That you are now going, the same thing that was delivered unto you that you have received, you are going to commit. You are going to deliver.
To faithful men.
To faithful men. And the idea now is that the faithful men will receive it.
We shall be able to teach others also.
And when they receive it, they will be able to what?
Teach others also.
That they will be able to teach as well.
Yeah.
So the cycle goes on.
Amen.
That is the recipe. Now tell me now. Are we standing in the gospel? Or are we hindering the gospel? Well, brother, what are you talking about? Well, if you are breaking the cycle, then you are not enhancing the gospel.
Yeah, sure.
Because the gospel having been delivered to you, it is now your responsibility, having received it, to deliver it to others.
Amen. Amen.
That's at the heart of the gospel. We are not getting it right. We can't just be hoarding up. It is not something that you, whoa, when we get this, we keep it as much as we can. And the more gospel I get, is the more holy I am. No. This gospel, when we receive it, and the gospel is good news, you know.
Sure.
When you get good news, you know, just keep it. You share it. Yes. So that is the essence of the gospel. You know, as I try to bring the lesson to a close, I'm going to do like Paul. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, the base text, verse 1, pick up at verse 1 for me again.
Moreover, brethren,
yes,
I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you.
I'm declaring the gospel which I preached unto you.
Which also ye have received.
That you have received. You see, the delivering and the receive. That's the base. That's what we're talking about.
And wherein ye
stand. And wherein ye stand. Now stop there. And wherein ye stand. So the gospel delivered, received, now stand. We must stand in the gospel. And this part is important because the Apostle Paul starts off the chapter 15, encouraging us to stand. And he ends telling us to stand. Read verse 15, the last verse in that chapter.
Therefore,
anybody has the NIV? Any reader has the NIV? But read it in the King James, and if we have the NIV, you know, it spells it out some for us.
Therefore, mm-hmm. my beloved brethren, mm-hmm. be ye steadfast.
Be ye steadfast.
Unmovable.
Unmovable.
Always abounding in the
always
work of the
Lord. Always abounding
in the work of the Lord.
In the work
of the Lord.
Of the Lord. Yeah.
For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
So as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You said, so that's what we are being told. That we, beyond receiving, having had the gospel delivered,
that we must receive it. But he's also saying to us that we need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But, you know, when we read the King James, you might say, what does it tell you to stand? You know, it says be steadfast and unmovable. And it almost seemed to be contradicting itself, because if I'm steadfast and unmovable, how come you're saying that I must always be abounding? Abounding don't mean that I'm moving. I don't even think I'm going to be able to clarify that too much in this lesson. But we have the NIV? No NIV? Okay, let me find it in the NIV. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters,
stand firm.
Stand! So, I want us to see that word, stand. Because I want us to realize that though we have received and we are in that process where we are delivering, that it is important that we stand. Because so many of us have gotten the gospel, but then we fail to stand. And so it is important that we do that. All right? And based on the time, I'll have to stand down from that point. But let us recognize that the gospel is something that we have been fortunate to receive. It is something that has been delivered to us. Amen. We cannot feel comfortable. We should not feel comfortable having just received it. We too must have it delivered. The gospel, there are some things about it that we must obey. So we must hear the gospel. We must believe the gospel. We must believe that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God and be prepared to say so. We must, in obeying the gospel, move away from self, change, turn from self to God. We must, in the gospel, in the obedience of the gospel, come in contact with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We didn't even get to read that. That was the base text read this morning. Romans chapter 6, 1 to 6. That we have to be in conformity to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can do that today. You can share that today. Deliver that. You have received it. What's the song of encouragement? 227. Come.